You know, the Apostle Paul is so interesting. He's a very interesting guy. He says so many things, but there's many things that are interesting in the Word of God. Just to label the message for today, I call it juicy fruit. So not the candy, but juicy fruit. My wife and I had a privilege about 2 years ago or so to go to the Central Coast, California Central Coast. And we went to San Luis Obispo, and we went some areas there. Really, really beautiful. And it was such an amazing trip. One of those nights, we're going to the market night in San Luis Obispo. And so we're walking down the market night, and these guys are selling, you know, all kinds of goodies and agricultural stuff. And vendor walks up to us and gives us an apricot. Now, I've had apricot. I'm from the Caribbean, so I know a tropical fruit. Apricot is not a tropical fruit. So, you know, I always hear Pastor Jim, he used to have an apricot tree in his backyard. And so he always talks about how he likes them. So I was like, man, I'm going to try that. So he's giving free samples. I took a bite of that thing, and it was just like my head exploded. It was so sweet. And it was just like, whoa, how come I've never discovered this fruit before? And it was so amazing. I mean, it was so good. I mean, the guy sold me. He gave me a free sample. I turned around. I had about a pound of that thing. You know, I'm walking around. I was like, I got my apricot. Don't touch. So it was so good. And it was such an amazing experience to have fresh fruit, juicy fruit. So, you know, we get back from vacation from San Luis Obispo. We come home. The very first thing that I do, go to the store. You know, next time we do a grocery run, I go to the store and I pick some apricot. Man, I get home, I'm so excited. I take a bite of the apricot from the store, and it was so nasty. It was just like, this is so wrong. This is just like total letdown. It's so interesting because the Word of God talks about that same effect. There are some fruit that are so amazing. They're juicy. They have the vitamin content. They have everything you need. Yet some look exactly the same, have exactly the same name, but not the same properties. Not the flavor, not the vitamins, not what you need. So how do I distinguish? How do I arrive? How do I get a hold of a juicy fruit in terms of a spiritual terms? How do I get a hold of what God wants for me? You know, the Word of God, every time the Word of God talks about the word fruit, it always talks about in the context of character. It always talks about in the context of something you see, something external, an evidence of something. And except for a few, there's a few exceptions in the Word of God, which we'll cover tonight, but it's always referring to that. The Word of God always talks about fruit. There's 208 mentions of it. I looked it up and I was like, man, there's something about this word from the Old Testament all the way to the end of the New Testament. 208 mentions in 164 verses talk about fruit. What's fruit? What's fruit bringing to us? The most famous part of it is obviously Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Apostle Paul starts to cover. We're not going to read it tonight. I'm just mentioning, you know, he talks about the fruit of the what? The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. When we were on vacation with our family, I don't know if you Kids Rock has this CDs, you know, that they used to make. And Pastor Mike, I send a message saying, hey, we're rocking it out to Pastor Mike, because there's a song Pastor Mike is singing, you know, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, happiness, love, peace, joy, you know, and where all the kids are singing. And so we know the songs, we know what it says, we know, but how does that come about in my life? I know when I was growing up as a Christian, I always used to read that verse and thinking, well, happiness, sometimes peace, maybe love. So I'm like, by the time I'm done with the list, I'm like, am I a Christian? You know, you don't know. So it puts such a challenge in your heart. But the Apostle Paul had just previously talked about a list of things that are terrible. He's saying people that commit this, that commit adultery, that are idolaters, that do these things, they will not make it into the kingdom of God. And then he says, but if you have the fruit of the Spirit, this is the evidence that would come forth out of your heart. For us tonight, I'm going to define fruit as the following. Fruit is the external evidence of something done in private, whether bad or good. Fruit, the external evidence of something done in private, whether bad or good. Because many times in the Christian context, we've looked at fruit at only the bad thing. Every time I hear people talk about fruit, a lot of times, not that we shouldn't look at those things, because Jesus tells us, hey, you will know them by their what? We will know them by their fruit. But we've always assumed, I don't know if you've done it, I know I've done it, that the fruit we're always looking for is bad fruit. You never hear anybody say, oh, that's good fruit, I like that. Everybody's just like, oh, that's fruit of the bad stuff they're doing. But so I was asking God, Lord, how can I change the outlook of the fruit like I experienced in San Luis Obispo. Like I took a bite of a true apricot grown on a farm that was just healthy, very organic, and it was such a difference when I show up at the store on a processed food, probably doused it with a bunch of chemicals, picked out of the farm in the wrong season, and just put at the store to sell, and then the stuff tastes nasty. But it looked the same, it had the same name. So how do I get a juicy fruit? How do I get a juicy fruit? How to be fruitful? How to be fruitful? You know, tonight we couldn't cover everything that the Bible says about being fruitful. So I'm not attempting to give you a theological debate and explanation of this. I just want to bring out something that God put in my own heart as to how I get this. If you get one of the three, great. If you get three, whoa, you're amazing. If you get two, even better. So get something out of the Word of God tonight. Very important. There's a time to work in order to get the fruit in the time that is due. Now is the time for us to get to work to get to what we want. I'll repeat it. Now is the time for you to get to work in order to get the fruit that you want. Because fruit is a process. You can't delay it. You can't put it off. You can't be doing those things. I was watching a while back sports. If you watch sports, there's a baseball player named Alex Rodriguez, and he had gotten into a big mess in his life with different things and just the terrible things, you know, that come in that type of environment. And he said something so interesting. I was watching one time ESPN Sports or something like that, and he said, you know, because they asked him, how was your turnaround? How come you turned around your baseball career? He said, I was in the rehab clinic because he was caught with drugs and different things. And I said to myself, I'm only 33 years old. I'm not 50, I'm not 100, I'm not 80. I can make the change. And he turned around. And for all of us tonight, that is the question we should ask ourselves. What does it take for me to turn around? What would it take for me to get and become a fruitful person? How do I do that? So tonight, examine that. Where do I start planting so that I can get the fruit that I want later on? Are you with me? It's very important that we look at that. Number one, you must remain planted or connected. You must remain planted or connected. Jesus described our relationship with him as a vine to a branch. In doing so, not only did he promise growth, but also demanded fruitfulness. I heard somebody said this. I read this in a book one time, and it's so interesting. It says, Jesus described our relationship with him as a vine to a branch, and in doing so, not only did he promise growth, but also he demands fruitfulness. So Jesus is saying, you and I have an interesting relationship. John chapter 15, we'll look at it in a minute. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You're the thing hanging off of the vine, feeding off of it, doing those things. But he said, apart from me, there's nothing you can do. So he's saying, in this description that I am a tree, you guys are branches, I'm going to give you growth. There will be growth in your life. For all of us, there's growth. We grow spiritually. We grow in our finances. There's growth in our families. But he also said, but because of that, I will also demand fruitfulness. Nobody here plants a tree. Let me plant an orange orchard. A year goes by, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, no oranges. You know what the farmer does? You're out of here. You're gone. And so it's the same in Christianity, the same in our walk. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you growth. Oh, I'm going to tender you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do that. I am able, but I need you to show some fruit. I need that in return. And God is asking that of us tonight. So, John 15, 5, go there. Very famous scripture. Jesus is towards the end of his ministry, and he's praying to the Lord and just, you know, explaining to the disciples their relationship. He starts promising the Holy Spirit amongst us. He's saying, hey, I'm going to go, but somebody's going to be with you, is going to help you and do these things. And so Jesus starts saying, I have verse 5 for you here, but let me read from 4 here. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Number 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then it says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing. And so Jesus is saying, to us today through the same, without me, you cannot advance. Without being connected to me, you're not going to get to what you want and what you need and what I want you to do. So how do I connect with Jesus? How do I do that? If I must remain planted, how do I do that? Number one, it has to be your relationship with Christ. It's the very first thing that has to be in order. What is your relationship with Christ? I grew up in church. And you know, I was thinking about it today, and I was like, you know, when you go to AA meeting, I was, I could say, you know, I'm a recovering Pharisee. So, hi, my name is Paul, and I'm a Pharisee. So what happened with that a lot of times is when you grew up in church, you know the system, you develop the system, you understand the system, and Jesus is going at the disciples saying, don't be that way. Don't learn the system without allowing the process to get into your heart. That's why when we sing a song like that, take a look at my heart, see what you see, look what it is, and do something in it. It sounds beautiful with music, but when you really think about what you're praying, it's scary. You are really telling God, I want you to dive into the darkness of my heart, in the places that nobody knows, in the places that only I judge, and some people may know. I am giving you permission to walk in and tell me what must change. It's not just a song. It is a prayer. And the very first step for us to do that, we remain connected. We remain connected to God, connected to Him, and saying, in my relationship with Him, I have to maintain that because that's where I get the tenderness. I exactly know. My wife always says that. I know when I haven't had good time with the Lord, I am cranky with my husband. Amen. I am cranky with my kids. And so there's things that come out, and she knows. She said, I can sense it. When I'm close to God, there is a tenderness placed upon my heart. And the fruit of that then is manifested in how I live my life and how I do work and the things that I do in my life come out of that relationship. And it's very important for us to know that because that is the fruit that's going to be manifested in what I do. I used to work in the dental field many years ago. And when I started, I went into a company and I started from the bottom. Even though I understood and knew more than a lot of people, they didn't know me. So I started from the bottom. I took the job. That's okay. I had a supervisor. And this guy was, because he knew I knew a lot, he was writing me all the time. I mean, it was such a hard time to work. Go do this. Go do that. Go do this. Do this. Why don't you do this? You know, I'm bailing them out of problems. Okay. Till one day I just lost it. And I just, you know, what are you doing? You're doing this. And then I went home. And when I get home, you know, I'm telling my wife, look, I'm fair in this. But that night, I could not sleep, so I get up and I pray. You know what God tells me? You got to go apologize to Him tomorrow. I was like, oh, that... were we just praying? Because I didn't... Did I just ask you? And I knew in my heart immediately, I was like, oh, that's like, that goes beyond every grain that you feel because you feel somebody has wronged you. Somebody has done something that it shouldn't be. So show up at work the next day. Walk up to him and say, hey, I'm so sorry. You're the supervisor. I work under you. Sorry about last night. You know, I just lost. I was a little tired. I was upset. Apologize. I'm willing to work with you. And so from that day on, it turned around. There was a favor upon my life. And most of all, that doesn't mean we were friends. He was still a very hard boss. But I looked at it from different eyes. And the interesting part, within a few months, he was gone. I was in his position. You like that exchange? And so I said, you know what? This is the kind of things that are fruit of our relationship, that there's true honesty in what we do. The second thing that the Bible also mentions in terms of how to remain, and it's a famous verse because we love it here at The Rock, Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Says here, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts. Okay, we have it. We have that one. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So the Bible comes along and says, if you're planted in the house of the Lord, there'll be fruit that comes out of you, out of the relationship with God, out of your relationship with your brothers and sisters, out of the growth, what you're receiving when you're under senior pastor's covering, when all of those things are happening, there's already fruit that's going to be manifested in your life. Now, remember, just the fact that you attend church, though it helps you and maintains you, you have to have both. There's got to be a communication to Jesus and a communication to others. Are you with me? So planting, we just saw that it's going both ways. Jesus is saying, you have to be connected to me in order to receive, because without me, you can't do it. And then in Psalm says, but you also have to be planted in the house of the God, because you will flourish. And we all want to flourish. Nobody here wants to be a sour fruit. Nobody here. And so all of us, we want to have that aroma and color and fragrance that a good fruit has. And the very first thing that I notice is they remain connected. As soon as you remove a plant from its origin, from where it's supposed to be, there's a problem. Those who work in gardening, you know, you would know. You would know this process, but a lot of times when you're trying to move a tree from one area to another area, usually dies. You have to be really careful because the tree has already accustomed to the ground, to the vitamins, to the process that's already in that ground. When you move it to a different ground, it has to readjust, readapt, go through a process, and most of the time it dies. So for us to remain alive, we have to remain connected. Are you with me so far? Okay, how to be fruitful, how to be a juicy fruit. Number two, you must prepare good ground. You must prepare good ground. You have to do that. There's a little bit of labor involved, but you have to prepare good ground. Luke chapter 8, a very famous verse, and we can go there. Jesus is talking to his disciple, and he talks to them in parables, as he did most of the time or many times. And parables, like you already know, are stories that have a spiritual meaning to it and an application through what he's saying. So in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is coming along and talking to the disciples. And he said, hey, somebody went out to sow seed. And so they went out, they scattered the seed, and the seed fell in different ground. It fell on the dry ground, it fell by the rock, by the wayside, by the thorns, and some in good ground. And he keeps walking, walks away. And the disciples are like, Jesus, but what do you mean? Tell us what you mean by what you're talking. We don't understand what you're saying. So Jesus starts describing what he's saying. Let's start in verse number 12. Those by the wayside, talking about the seed and what had just been planted, those by the wayside, that's the way where the seed landed, are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Continue on saying, I want you to notice a pattern. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they what? Fall away. Verse number 14, how interesting, says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. A version says, the fruit doesn't develop, bring no fruit. Here's what I want you to notice. And when I was praying, I read it, and I was like, okay, I know this story. Most people, you've probably never heard this, probably you have, most people preach this or teach it the following way. That out of the foreground, the wayside, the rock, the thorns, and the good ground, that three of them didn't come to Christ. And that's where they use the theory. Oh, when you preach the word, only 25% of people come to the Lord. I'm about to prove you something that we just read together. Number one said that the word came to their heart, which is the ground, and they did not, so they should not be saved. The devil steals it as soon as they hear it. The second says that they do get it, and they're excited. Oh my God, they come up front. They're so happy. They go, and then pressure comes from the family, from the brother, from the cousin, from finances, and they say, this is not for me. I'm out of here. I'm going back to what I know. But the third group says that they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures, and bring, know what? No fruit to maturity. The word fruit is always associated with Christians in the Word of God. Those never left the church. They just never developed to fully grown Christians. Never. So for you and I, God is saying, the fruit that is in us can be choked. You can be in church, raise your hands, sing the songs, but be a shrunken Christian. Because it said the fruit did not develop to maturity. It didn't say that it was taken away. It didn't say that it was taken away by Satan. It didn't say that they fell away. It just said it just didn't develop. So for you, I the challenge tonight is, what does it take for me to develop to full maturity in God? To become a fully developed Christian that does what Christ has asked them to do and bring forth the fruit that God expects for me to bring. That's what's challenging me. I don't know what's challenging you. But Jesus is saying, this is what it takes. We would hear the word. We have our heart. The heart is the ground. Our heart where it lands is the ground. So what do we have to do? My wife and I used to live in Las Vegas. And so when we were there, her dad has a church there. And so we were working and doing different stuff. We had a little condo. And the condo had a small patio and a sliver of dirt around the patio. I mean, very tiny. Probably, I don't know, half a foot or something like that. Sliver all around of dirt. And so I went out one day. I was like, it's just dirt. I was like, man, I'm just going to go out and get some, you know, grass seeds and plant them. So I go buy a couple bags of Lowe's, come back and put my seed in the ground, water it. Week goes by, a couple weeks, and then I see some things sprouted. And then after a month, the yard looks like bad hair plugs. I mean, it was just like, you know, just things here and there. You would assume, you know, I know you're thinking, he's Hispanic, he should know about grass and stuff like that. Whatever. Yeah, ask forgiveness, you know. Check yourselves. So the grass is just all over. It's so weird. It's like it's not fully grown. But what I did was something so... anybody that has a green thumb, obviously I don't, would know this. You have to go and tilt the ground, prepare it, bring it, then put the grass seeds or the sod or whatever. Then you would get the result that you're looking for. Are you with me? Well, I didn't know that. I assumed that if there's ground and there's seed, that should be what I want. You know what I'm saying? Just add water. But it didn't work out that way. And for many of us in our Christian walk and what we're doing, the Word of God is telling us that we have to do something. Because these people, they all had, their heart is their ground. That's our ground right here. What we are, who we are. And so if we have it, we got to do something. I was listening to a friend of mine teach this particular verse and really, really enjoyed it a lot. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And it says the following. God gives us an answer to the problem. He says, this is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Plow up the hard ground of your what? Oh, say it with me. Plow up the hard ground of your what? Hearts. And do not waste your good seed among the thorns. That verse is so important because this is what the Lord is saying. Unless I work my heart, what I'm sowing goes nowhere. Saying, don't waste your seed. I'll give you a personal example. One time, I was here at church, putting my offering. We prayed, made the declaration, put my offering. And so I'm praying one day at my house, and the Lord shows me an angel with his hands tied down. So I'm praying and saying, Lord, that's weird. I mean, I don't get stuff like that a lot of times. So I asked God, I said, you know, it's obviously an angel with his hands tied down like this. And the Lord says to me, you're tying my hands down to do something on your behalf. I mean, what can that be? I mean, I'm doing everything. I'm at church. I serve at church. I mean, I'm a pastor. I am so faithful in tithes and offerings. He says, that's the problem. He said, I have become mechanical in my process. I have no problem writing the check. God asked me, I'll write it. But as soon as I write it, I'm like, man, what did I do just that? I mean, is the Lord going to provide? And immediately I choke the sea with the cares of my heart. I cannot on your behalf, even if you put the money in the bucket, but do not believe me in your heart. I can't deny my word. God is saying it has to be combined. It has to be what you do, what you plan with the actions of your heart. Because what kept the Christian immature was the fact that it came and choked the life. Are you pursuing riches and forgetting the church? That's what it says. It choked the pleasures of life, the wanting of this. I want to be a Christian. I'm there Sunday, you know, but right as I leave church, I post on Facebook, I'll see you at Club 51. You know, it's like, oh, wait, what you doing? I don't know of anybody that did that. If you're here, I am so sorry. delete post. But that's what it's telling us, saying where you put your seed has to be accompanied with a belief in your heart. You have to tilt the ground. And someone else can explain it in a different way, but that's how God explained it to me. So I'm putting the check, but I also have to say with my heart, God, I believe you that you're more than enough, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror, that you provide for all of my needs, Father. That's why I'm doing this out of faithfulness. It's not a cha-ching that I'm doing. I'm putting the check and I got to get something. No, I am believing you instead of, let me put the check in. How am I going to pay the rent? Why did I put that check in there? You know, usher, bring me back that check, you know. Let's not do that, but let's combine our actions with our faith and we will get a result in return. Are you with me? Amen. How to be fruitful. How to be fruitful. Point number three and final point for tonight. We've seen 2 points so far. Number one, you must remain planted. Number two, you have to work the ground. You have to prepare it. And number three, you must be patient. Number three, you must be patient. Guys, the walk of Christ is a marathon. And for all of us, I want you to, my wife described it as just like a pressure cook. I want you to push that button and let the steam out. It's going to take time. And God, it's okay with that. God is okay with that. Many times in Christianity, we put demands on people that are just barely walking their salvation instead of inching them along and saying, you can do it. I want you to do it. You're going to grow. You're going to do things the right way. You have to put an investment. So you have to be patient first with yourself and with the walk in Christ. Are you with me? And so it's very important that we do that. We don't take a baby and immediately sign them up in college. We don't do that. And so for all of us, you know, when they come here, when you're in your walk with Christ, it takes a process for me to grow. Some people grow faster than others. That is the truth. That's a reality because some people are tilling the ground, doing the work, but some people work and grow slower. What God doesn't want is that you remain small, that you remain immature. You know what's the devil's greatest fear? It is not that you worship the Lord. The devil's greatest fear is not even that you pray a lot. His greatest fear is that you're fruitful. Because that is exactly the command that God gave us. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Not just physically. When he sent the disciples, said, go out and make disciples. That is fruitfulness. That is multiplication. That is growth of what you believe and understand in your life. If we do, if we raise good families and good kids, they'll be fruitful. And they'll be a threat and a menace to Satan. You understand what I'm saying? That is the biggest challenge. But if we remain immature and small, what does he care? What does he care? You're not doing nothing. So the challenge is for us to take this at heart and really become fruitful. Like I said, mentioned before, I'm from the Dominican Republic, from the tropics. And, you know, a lot of times there's fruit in the area where my mother has an apartment and we used to live. The area used to be a mango and avocado farm. I mean, it was loaded with trees, so they bought the properties, made a development, and but they left some of the avocado and mango trees. And every year, when that would come around, you know, the neighbors that had it in the backyard, I mean, all the neighbors were like, let me in, I can see it. I can see it from the outside, you know, let me in, get some of that. And our building had 2 mango trees. But because it was an open building, there was always people coming from the street and taking our mangoes, and it was just like, hey, don't touch our mangoes, that's our building, you know? But it was, we would wait every year. I mean, you would see the flower, then you would see the mango develop. Remember that fruit is evidence of something done in secret. I don't know what's going on in the tree, but I'm seeing the evidence little by little develop. And all of a sudden, when that mango was big, ripe, I mean, you wake up one morning and that puppy was so nice looking. I mean, you get up early, run down, climb the tree, grab the mango, I beat your neighbor, and you eat it, you know? But the difference of the mango is so interesting. In my country, they always ask this question when they go to the store. How did the mango ripen? Is it a tree-ripened mango or a chemical-induced ripen? Because it tastes completely different. Completely different. One was ripened to get it to the market so I can make a buck. The other was left to nature, in the tree, full of vitamins, full of flavor. When you take a bite of a mango like that, oh man, juice coming down to your elbow, and you're like, that's good stuff. That's the good stuff. You can tell the difference right away. Right away, there's no confusion. It was the same with the apricot. There's no confusion when there's a juicy fruit and when there's not. And the same for us in Christianity. People know when they've been around a Christian that just dripping in goodness. Instead of one that's like, whoa, I took a bite of the wrong fruit today. Luke 8:15, Jesus finishes this way saying the following. But those who felt on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with noble, with goodness in their heart, with a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with what? Oh, say it loud. With what?
Patience.
With patience. So God is saying, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait for you to tree ripen. I'm not going to induce your growth. I'm going to wait for you. I want you to bear fruit, but I want you to do it in the process of Christ. See, the Pharisees were chemical ripened Christians. They knew the stuff. They knew the word. They were always in church. They dressed the right way. But when you took a bite of that Pharisee, oh, that was a nasty fruit. And Jesus said, hey, there's something wrong with these guys. I don't want you to be that way. I want you to be different. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, patience, it's kindness. It's all those things that come out of us in the process of knowing Christ, remaining in church, working my heart to fruition. I'll conclude with this verse. Hebrews 10:36. And while you go there, Hebrews 10:36. The word patience here and the word patience in the book of Hebrews is not the patience that we know. It's not the, oh, he's so patient. Look at this. That person who took his parking spot and he just praised the Lord and went on. That's not the kind of patience that that verse is talking about. Okay? And I'm assuming whoever did that did not do it in San Bernardino because it would be on the news, you know? So patience in this particular verse is saying endurance. Patience in this particular word is endurance. What is the Bible saying? What is the word saying? He's saying, I want you to produce fruit with endurance. I want you to remain to the end. The Bible says, I will have a crown for you. I have a gift for you for those who remain to when? To the end. To the end. Guys, this is for all of us to run all the way to the end till Jesus returns. That's the purpose of this. Until he calls us home. It is not for you to do 2 years, 5 years of this stuff and said, I did the Christian thing, now I'm going on something else. God is saying, with the fruit of patience, you'll make it to the end. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of what? Oh, say it out loud. You have need of what?
Endurance.
That is the same word translated patience. You have need of endurance. It doesn't say you should get it. You should get some of it. You should have 10% of it. You have need of endurance. You want to remain. You want to stay. You want to make it all the way through. Because it says, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The promise. That is exactly what the Lord wants from you and I. He wants you to endure, to develop your capacity to remain, to develop your capacity to remain connected to Him and to the church, to develop your capacity to work your heart and say, God, look inside my heart. Look at the things that are there. Do, see what you see and do what you want to do. And then to do that with patience. Tomorrow, you're not going to show up and say, oh, I'm going to be good. You can declare and you should start declaring, but you're not. Things don't just change that way. There is a process that God is saying, I'm going to get that out of you, but I need you to endure. If somebody's not here, somebody's not enduring, the process can't be done. It can't. There is no remote access to Christianity. Even though in a nation like ours, in a world like ours, there is a lot of that going on, and it's good. But there's something to be said about the relationship. Pastor Joel and I always talk about these things. And nowadays, and it's great, you know, there's a lot of churches online. People do worship online. That's phenomenal. I mean, we ourselves are praying to have part of the school online, and that's on the works, you know. And it's good to receive that online. But there's nothing like when another brother sees you and challenges you in a particular way. And you can't do that online. So for us to be juicy fruit, we have to connect with God and in our relationship. Work the ground and endure. Remain to the end. Don't let yourself get plucked out of the tree outside of your time. Don't let yourself be removed. Saying here, endure. Increase your capacity to do this in God. For all of us tonight. for all of us. If you want to be a juicy fruit, hang on to God. If you want to be a juicy fruit, God wants you to do that. God wants that fruitfulness in you. God desires that. God desires that you're a good mother and a good father. God desires that you're a good employer and employee. That's his desire, that you're a juicy fruit. That when people see you, the neighbors see you, say, I want that. I want what they have. That looks good. It has the right color, smells the right way, and man, it sure does taste the right way. And so I want that. That's what I desire, that there's a transformation in our hearts and in our life. We become juicy fruits in the process of what we do, and it takes patience to do that. So if God spoke to you, you give him a hand tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That is so good.